Okay, CCNA 2, Module 10, Module 9 even, Module 9, Part 2, without Ventrilo. Okie dokie. Don't lose my place. It did, you know.
Why?
Because I was alt tabbing around and stuff and it lost my place.
You didn't have active follows Braille.
Yes, I did actually.
It actually deteriorated very fast.
No, sometimes when I alt tab out of Internet Explorer, it loses the whole.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you're
doing the exploding.
Yeah, you shouldn't be using that. You should use Firefox.
But it loses it in Firefox on my machine too.
Oh,
yeah. Happen. Okay. Here we are. I'm up to the bit I'm up to. So we're just talking about the K things and we've just finished that. Okay, so commands are listed to use to show the last routing update. And we did those, but we'll just revisit those. And there's four of them. Show IP route will show you the routing table. Show IP route address, which will show you specifics information on a particular route. Show IP protocols. And show IP RIP database. Okie dokie, so I think we're pretty happy with that. Okay, observing multiple paths to the destination, so we went through all of that. Which was all of those bizarre formulas. Okay, we're going to go through the layers. At layer one, look for simple problems, like such as power cables not being plugged into the wall and other physical connections. The most common problems that occur on IP networks result from errors in the addressing scheme. So once you've checked all of the power cables and things, make sure the addresses are correct. It is important to test the address configuration before continuing with further configuration steps. Okie dokie. Each test presented in this lesson focuses on network operations at a specific layer of the OSI reference model. Funny that. Okay. At layer three, the command telnet and ping are used to test the network. Okay. Using a structured approach to network troubleshooting. In other words, don't just run out and start trying things with no concept as to what's going to work and what's not, or you'll just confuse yourself and everybody else. Problems. Okay. Okie dokie. This process should be based on the networking standards set in place by the network administrator, which is you. Documentation is a very important part of the troubleshooting process. You should be able to rummage through that filing cabinet and find that bit of paper that you wrote 6 months ago. Well, it probably means you should have well-organized documentation as well. The steps in this method are as follows. Step 1. Collect all available information and analyze the symptoms for the failure. Step 2. Localize the problem to a particular network segment, module, unit, or user. It's a bit like going to the doctor, isn't it? Does it hurt when I ping this? Isolate the trouble to specific hardware or software within the unit, module, or user network account. I was about to say in the particular user. Step 4. Locate and correct the problem. Well, that's obviously just straightforward, isn't it? Step 5. Verify that the problem has been solved. Step 6. Document the problem and the solution.
It's a bit like the troubleshooting steps in ITE, isn't it?
Well, it's very similar to the troubleshooting steps in ITE. Okay. These are not the only ways to troubleshoot a network. You can do all sorts of things. However, an orderly process is important to keep a network running smoothly and efficiently. Which is interesting, because sometimes you get these people going, oh, first we've got to check the layer one, and we've got to check whether the light's on in the back of the computer, and can we pull the computer out from the wall so we can... And you go, no, you've just installed Zone Alarm. Let's just uninstall Zone Alarm and see if the problem goes away. Look at that. So it's often possible to shortcut these particular problems without having to do the whole, well, we start at layer one and we see if the light's on, if you actually know what's going on, or you know what changes have occurred, which of course you will, because you had documentation.
Last change in, first thing you take out.
Hmm. Okay. A structured approach is when a structured approach is used, every member of a network support team knows which steps the other team's members have completed to troubleshoot the network. Except half the time you can't rely on them completing the steps properly, so you have to go and test it yourself anyway. If a variety of troubleshooting ideas are tried with no organization or documentation, problem solving is not efficient. Even if the problem is solved in the non-constructive environment, it will be difficult to replicate the solution with similar problems. Okay. Now we're going to talk about testing by OSI layer. Layer 1. Errors can include the following. Anybody think of any? Well, there are 9 of them on here.
Cable unplugged.
Well, yeah, we've got broken cables.
Faulty cable.
Disconnected cable. Cables connected to the wrong port.
Mm-hmm. Mismatched cable. Wrong
type. Yeah.
Yep.
An intermediate cable connection.
Yeah.
A rollover, crossover, or straight through cables used incorrectly.
Yep.
Yes, that'll do it. Transceiver problems. DCE cable problems, DTE cable problems, device turned off. That's a good one.
I bet that's a bit more common than people think.
I think people know how common it is. Layer 2 problems can include Topaz. List of 5 items. Improperly configured serial interfaces. Improperly configured Ethernet interfaces. Improperly encapsulated set is what it says here. Improper clock rate settings on the serial interfaces. Network interface card NIC problems. Okay.
You coming over, Geraldine?
Obviously.
Okay.
She's sleeping over there.
Okay.
You woke her up.
Yeah, we did. She's desperately trying to mark worksheets so she can have a guilt-free weekend.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. But that's all right. She's still got to do all the labs. Mwahahaha. Layer 3 problems. Routing protocols not enabled. Wrong routing protocols enabled. Incorrect IP address. There we go. Yep, there's Gemma's. Incorrect subnet masks. Errors appear on the network. The process of testing these through the OSI layers should begin. The ping command is used at layer 3 to test connectivity. At layer 7, the telnet command is used to verify the application layer connectivity software between the source and the destination. Both of these commands will be discussed in detail in later sections. How boring. Okay, layer 1, troubleshooting. Look at the lights. Make sure the cables are plugged in.
The lights are on, but nobody's home.
That's right. You go to Graham's place. The lights are off and somebody's home. In fact, the only light you can see is Graham sitting in front of Wikipedia.
The screen glowing.
Yes, and then Graham glowing. Okay, you can. Okay, Make sure you're using the right cables. Make sure the cables are correct properly. Test the ends and cables with a cable check tester. Connect continuity. Make sure that's all good. Verify the cable from the source interface to the destination interface is properly connected and the little tunker has gone took. Tunk. Okay, and is in good condition, so the dog hasn't eaten it. If there is a doubt to the connect that the connection is good, reseat the cable and ensure that the connection is secure. This does not mean you yank on it and see if it comes out. Try replacing the cable with a known working cable, assuming that you have a known working cable. Otherwise, keep swapping in cables until you find one. If this cable connects to the wall jack, use a cable tester to ensure that the jack is properly wired. Okay, so I think that's all pretty straightforward. Also, check any transceivers in use and make sure they're all set properly. Sometimes you can also get a switch fault, which is fun, you just replace the switch. If the problem continues after the cable is replaced, replace the transceiver if one is in use. So there you go. Always check to make sure that the device is powered on. Always check the basics before running diagnostics or attempting complex troubleshooting. I ran Net Analyzer Pro and it says it's broken. Yes, we knew that. So that's important. Don't sort of do all these things that aren't going to tell you anything. Layer 3 troubleshooting using ping. You ping IP addresses and you see if anything comes back. And you make sure you don't have your firewalls turned on. Echo messages are used to determine that the protocol packets are going to the router and stuff. The ping command sends a packet to the destination host and then waits for a reply packet from the host. The results from this protocol's tests can help evaluate the path to host reliability, delays, and the delays over the path and the, whatever that word, whether or not the host can be reached or is functioning. The ping output displays the minimum, average, and maximum round-trip time so you can see whether it's slow or not. The ping command uses ICMP. Okay, and that's how it all works. Isn't that good? And there's a picture. This is a very basic testing mechanism for network connectivity. And there's another picture. And you can ping the target and it
creates another figure.
And it sends 5 datagrams. Each exclamation point indicates a successful echo. One or more periods dot indicates that the application on the router timed out before it received the packet echoed from the remote. So it goes dot 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 instead of
bang is success and dot is not.
That's right. Okay. So there you go. And there's an example. Router, ping, protocol, host, address. You can put all sorts of things in there. And you can look those up in the Cisco Router Help or Ciscopedia because I'm not going through them. Okay. Because you should have pre-read your notes anyway. And you can look at the percentage of how much is lost. It also tracks the amount of time required for the packets to reach the destination and the replies to be received. This information can be used to verify communications between hosts and determine if information was lost. Mate, if I had a dollar for everybody who fired up Dr. Ping and then tried to tell you that their ADSL connection was slow and why doesn't it run any faster? Because it's 8 o'clock at night and every kid in your block is surfing the internet. The ping command can be involved both. You can use it in user exec mode and privileged exec mode. And if you use it in privileged, you can do more.
Is there such a thing called ping doctor or were you just...
Dr. Ping?
Dr. Ping.
Oh, there is.
Oh,
yeah.
It's hard to tell.
No, Dr. Ping actually exists. Okay. And there's another thing called... I just remember what that thing calls it. Tweaks with your MTU. Network...
Oh, yeah.
Doctor or... network something or other, and they all get
there. Sometimes you come up with silly names, and sometimes they just are silly names.
And you can't no, that Dr. Ping, Dr. Ping exists.
Okay.
And you fire up this this thing, and I can't remember what the name of the utility is, and you then sit around and you tweak with your MTU until you absolutely break your connection, and then you wonder why things don't go any faster, and you then have to call the ISP tech support, who tell you to reset your router to factory defaults and stop messing with your MTU because that's as fast as it goes. Now get over it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Just a little bugbear of mine. Okay. All this other stuff. Okay. The use of an extended ping command directs the output to form a more extensive range of tests options. To use the extended ping, type ping at the command prompt and press enter, and it asks you questions. Prompts will appear. Magic. And it will let you type things in and you can tell it what to do. These prompts provide many more options than with a standard ping. So this is Ping Deluxe. Okay. Use the ping when the network functions properly to see how the command works under normal conditions. Then get Gemma to pull the cable out and see how it doesn't function. This can be used as a comparison or baseline when troubleshooting. Okay. What does this one talk about? Layer 7 troubleshooting using the telnet command. You basically telnet, and if it works, you get a connection, and if it doesn't, you don't. Okay? Okay. We're not even going to go through that because that's so obvious, but it's the most complete testing mechanism available, and if it doesn't work, something is broken.
Something is broken, like the first something.
That's right.
Oh, no.
Graham has spoken, and we wish he hadn't. yes, you can use the telnet that provides a virtual terminal for troubleshooting purposes. It is useful to verify that you can connect to your virtual machines by following the instructions in VMware instructions.txt. And you use
Terra. Or HTM.
Or did HTM, because Gemma marked that up.
Yeah.
I should get a little medal for that. And I used to think they were called metals when I was a kid. I used to think you won a metal. Okay. So, and you should have all telnetted to your virtual machines by now. Okay, and a successful telnet connection indicates that the telnet was successful.
Or at least telnet
that the upper layer applications and services are working with the lower level functions. Hurrah.
Okay.
If an administrator can telnet, they're a happy administrator. if an administrator can telnet to one router but not another, verify the lower layers. Okay. Hurrah. Scrolling. Actually, it's quicker to scroll with voice. Okay, you can have things fail when you telnet because sometimes if you can't do a reverse DNS lookup, the telnet will drop the connection. And in fact, that can happen. In fact, if you have a virtual machine and you telnet into the virtual machine, or you have a Linux machine and you telnet into the virtual machine and it can't do a reverse DNS lookup, it will actually hang for a minute waiting for the reverse lookup, and then it will give you the login prompt.
Yeah.
So some people get impatient and close the window and they don't wait for the actual telnet to complain or pop up the login prompt. Yeah, certain people have done that before, Gemma.
Yeah.
And they've just gone, oh, it's not working, and closed the window.
Yeah.
And usually by the time they've held their alt key down, they just saw the login prompt pop up and they pressed F4. Yeah, you should have waited.
And you're going to go in and do it again and wait again.
And Geraldine's just eaten a kookaburra. Okay. It is possible that Telnet has not negotiated the correct options. And you can look at those with the debug Telnet command. And sometimes you shift Telnet off port 23 just to confuse Graham on your server because you don't want Telnet running on port 23.
You don't want Graham Telnetting in, so...
Okay, you can do show interfaces, and that will show you whether the interfaces are up or down and what state they're in. And you want the physical portions and the logical portions, and you look at both. hardware is cables and line protocol and things, and logical is IP addresses and things. And there's an example. Remember, we have the interface being up or down and the line protocol being up or down. Very important to see whether line and interface are up or down. If you've got lots of carrier transitions, the link is up and down like the share market. Okay, so you can have problems with your service provider and faulty switch or router or DSU hardware. You can have faulty, if you're getting lots of errors, you can have faulty telephone equipment, noisy line, incorrect cable or cable length, damaged cable or connection, defective CSU or DSU, defective router hardware. What did you say?
Cheap cable.
Oh, check cable.
Cheap
cable. Ah, cheap cable.
So if you're doing ADSL or dial-up, make sure you have a good quality phone cable going to your phone port.
Yes, not the one that's $3 for 20 metres from Kmart. Because believe it or not, the quality of
it
the cable
makes a
is...
big difference.
Yes, in fact, at Gemma's house, when she used to live at home, they had a big long extender lead running from the computer room all the way through the house after over these dodgy hooks and where people would step on it in the doorway and all the way into the phone point, and it was a crummy, cheap $8 extender cable, and she used to get modem speeds that were about 14,400 bits per second. And the day we installed ADSL, we probably replaced the extender cable with a really good one, and she got modem speeds of 56 kilobits per second, and then we installed ADSL. And I'd been telling them that for years. I'd been saying for like 3 years that they should replace that stupid, thin, crummy cable, and they wouldn't listen. So, check your physical layer. Okay. Now, keep in mind that if you're seeing about, 16 carrier transitions and the router has been up for 6 months, that's probably not a problem. Although, if you've seen 16 carrier transitions and the router's been up for 2 minutes, that's probably a problem. And you can actually clear the statistics if you want to. And if the thing shows that you've never cleared the things, do the show version command to see how long the router's been up for, so you know how long the statistics are valid for.
You had to get those... Oh, they're back there from the show...
Interfaces.
Show interfaces. Okay, that's
fine. Yeah, and you can actually specify which interface you want to look at if you don't want to look at all the interfaces. Oh, I'm looking forward to a coffee this morning. And there's a whole lot about whether you're getting keeper lives or not, and that shows whether the line protocol is up or down. So if you're not getting keeper lives, then that's a problem. Keeper lives show you whether the circuit is active or not. If the line is down, the protocol is down. That stands to reason. If the interface is up and the line protocol is down, which I used to see, that means that there's a problem with the actual line or the equipment or something. That's all in the notes.
The line is physical.
I think Geraldine's the only one who needs to sing. Okay, so CDP will allow you to look at what's being advertised and what's going where, so use it. Okay. If all of these function properly, then you should get the CDP stuff through because it works. It's a protocol agnostic way of doing these things. There is a problem that if you have CDP enabled for long periods of time, it's a security risk because people can listen to all the CDP packets and find out all sorts of things about your routers and iOS versions. How much of this stuff have I got? Okay, traceroute shows you the path from one place to another. It sends out a port on a packet on a high UDP port between 32,000 and another number which I can't remember, so you'd have to look up the man page, and then it waits for a time exceeded ICMP message to be received, and then it decrements the, it increments the TTL and sends out another packet, and that way it can tell which packets the packet has gone through. It actually uses the time exceeded messages from the different hosts to see which hosts the command is going through. On Cisco, the command is trace route. On Windows, the command is trace RT. And you can look at the hops, and if it says star, 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 you didn't reach a hop, and if it shows you the hop and the round trip times, you did. Okay. The trace route command also shows you the performance. Now, a failed response isn't always an indication of a problem. If somebody's shut off ICMP, you won't get the response back. And so you've got to be aware of that. And it goes into how that works. So show IP protocols and show IP route we've talked about. You troubleshoot your routing problems. So find out if you're not seeing the routes you expect to see in the routing table, make sure you use show IP protocols to make sure that the routing protocol you think is running, because you might not have enabled the routing protocol, therefore you won't learn routes. And that's useful. Show controllers. And it will show you the type of cables without inspecting the cables. So it's a good command for Graham. The output will show you what sort of cable has been detected, so you can figure out which end is DCE and which end is DTE. Well, it's good for any blind person. And it will show you whether you've got no cable, the wrong type of cable, or a defective one. So you can go show controllers serial 0/0, and it queries the actual serial chip. And it varies depending on what sort of serial controller you've got. And most of the information is fairly complex unless you know how the integrated circuit works, and you should just probably look at the bits that interest you. The debug commands, you can debug all sorts of different things, and if you turn on debugging information, then information is output to the terminals, such as debug, IP rip, and those sorts of things. So you can actually look at the updates and things being sent, and you can also use undebug all to turn off all debugging. Debugging commands will show you what's going on in real time, whereas show commands will only show you static information at the time you execute the show command. So, keep in mind that if you leave debug turned on for too long, it uses high processor utilization and it can slow your router down. So only look at certain types of things, not every debug output, or you'll never get around to reading through it all. Don't use debug all unless you really want trouble, because it really can bog your router down. You can use terminal monitor to monitor the output of the debug commands. However, watch out if you are using debug commands from a telnet session, that the telnet overhead and the telnet packets are not actually generating more debug data by the fact that you're actually telneted in.
Oh dear. That's not cool.
That's right. Okay. Timestamps will, if you turn on timestamps, it will put a timestamp on the debug output. Probably not useful if you're using speech unless you've got Braille, but it is there if you need it.
Probably useful if you're looking at stuff over an extended period.
Yeah, you can tell when things are happening.
Like, oh, these routes are coming in every 30 seconds or...
Service timestamps debug uptime.
Yes.
Okay. And you can get it to display the time and date. Isn't that good?
Yay.
That's assuming that you have set the router's clock.
Yeah.
And just said that in the notes.
Which is different to the clock rate.
Sometimes on certain Cisco routers you need to set the clock after a reload, or you use a time protocol because there isn't a backup battery for the clock.
Oh. So you can use like NTP to...
NTP, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the end. Has anybody who's sitting here got any questions? You got any questions?
No.
No, good. Coffee time.
That's all pretty.
Can I hear you much, my Joycey?
Yeah.